Welcome to the Storage Stories Podcast, where Deanie Burns and Jason Coonan tackle self-storage news, trends, education, and share their expert experience in both the U.S. and Canadian markets. This podcast is for rookies and seasoned veterans alike as we all try to grow our businesses and leave our mark on the self-storage industry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Storage Stories, Episode 7. We are talking dynamic digital marketing today, and we have a special guest with us. I am one of your hosts, Deanie Burns. I am the Chief of Staff for Sunbird Storage, and I also have as a co-host, Jason Coonan, our CEO. So how are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing well. Two Jasons today, so we got to keep it straight.
Jay-Z, JK. So Jason Zickler, welcome. You're from AdRank. You are our special guest today. We are so happy to have you. It's an honor to have you on our show. So thank you for being here. And we're excited to do a deep dive and find out your origin story, how you got started, more about AdRank and what you all do. So before we dive in and hear all of the detail, I just wanted to kick it off and mention a couple of important events coming up. So our executive team will be at the Self Storage Association 50th anniversary, the fall trade show and conference coming up at the ARIA at the beginning of September. So please hit us up if you want to schedule a meeting. We are scaling and we are interested in looking and meeting with institutional investors. So if you're going to be there, then Jason Coonan and I will be there along with Vince Curtin, our VP of operations, and Shanna Curtin, our manager of customer experience and merchandise. So we're excited to meet all of you, see everyone, catch up, hear the scuttlebutt in the industry, and celebrate the Self-Storage Association. So that's going to be a great event. And also, this is breaking news. Jason Coonan and I have been accepted to speak at the Texas Self-Storage Association Conference coming up at the end of October. So the topic we are going to be speaking on is the churn creates the burn. So burns, get it, burn. Just kidding. There's no correlation there. But how to prevent staffing shortages. So that is actually going to be held on Thursday, October 30th at 11:30 a.m. So you won't want to miss that. This is our first time presenting together, Jason. So how do you think it's going to go?
I know it's going to go good, and I'm excited for it. A lot to share and looking for some great questions that we can answer on how we keep our employees happy.
Exactly. So enough about us. Jason Zickler, you're our special guest today, and you are the CEO of AdRank. And so we're excited to hear more about you and AdRank and talk all things digital marketing. So Jason Coonan, do you want to kick it off and ask Jason, put Jason Zickler in the hot seat?
Okay, great. Oh, definitely. Yeah. We've been getting to know AdRank here over the last couple of years, and they're doing some very cool stuff. So I think our audience is going to find this segment quite interesting. So yeah, let's start at the beginning, Jason. You've got, you know, so much going on today with AdRank, but you know, give folks a little bit of a sense of, you know, who you are and how you got to where you are today. There's been a long career path and a lot of real estate and marketing history in your family.
Yeah, that's right. I do come from a real estate family, commercial real estate specifically. So it's always been a very entrepreneurial journey in our household growing up. I stayed out of the real estate side of things for the last several decades. I spent most of my time in ad tech or martech, so advertising technology, marketing technology for a few decades, and most recently have been getting into prop tech. And so it's kind of been a full circle moment for me to have been grown, you know, grew up in a real estate household and chose to go into the advertising and marketing side, but finally found a way to do both. And so we actually got started on the AdRank journey back in 2017, 2018. We met our first self-storage operator in Dallas, Texas. And they had, at the time, about 30 properties. and they were scattered throughout kind of the Sun Belt states, so down and around Florida and Texas. And they were working with a large agency in the storage industry, and they were expressing that there were some frustrations around looking at data just once a month when it came to running paid advertising for their self-storage properties, and how they could try to use advertising, use this agency to try to grow their move-ins or grow their occupancy at each individual location. So they kind of expressed what the frustration was around the looking at data just once a month. It was kind of 30 days out of cycle by that point. They were dealing with a lot of junior leadership, and they really needed to have an idea of what the budgets should be for running these ad campaigns across all these properties. At the time, I assumed everybody in storage had 30 properties. I didn't know any better. And so we started creating some technology to look at the occupancy and look at the patterns of what was happening with move-ins and move-outs, things that were impacting occupancy. And then we would look at the ad campaigns that were up and running, the performance, the results that were being generated, and if there were correlations between campaign performance and occupancy growth. And we were able to create some forward-looking models to help this operator decide exactly what the budget should be based on those two sources of data, advertising campaign performance and occupancy information that we could get from their property management or facility management software. So we were able to reduce their reliance on doing it the manual way with the traditional agency. And they started relying on this new model that we had created. It was really a spreadsheet that was being generated or processed nightly, and it would show all the locations, and it would show all the campaigns, and it would give a budget recommendation. The operator loved it. And during the time that they were working with us, again, this was customer zero, who was slowly becoming customer one, they grew that portfolio with our help about 4x. During the period of a few years. And they grew from about 30 properties to about 120 plus, 125 plus, and sold the portfolio. So we figured we had finally perfected something. We'd finally created a piece of prop tech, a piece of advertising technology or marketing technology that maybe others in the storage industry would actually want. And so we asked that first customer if they would like to help us commercialize this and call it AdvaRank, make it available to everyone in storage, and if they would be interested in being our first seed investor and help us bring this to life. And they agreed. They loved what we had done with them. They wanted to see this thing grow and become available to the whole storage industry. So we launched on January 1st of 2023. So just a couple of years ago, and have been on a pretty wild ride ever since. So that's kind of how we got started. That's kind of the background of things.
Yeah, no, it seems like you guys have been doing it for a lot longer, just in my short time in the industry, but seems like you guys have been around for longer than that. But tell us a little bit about your past and how you were prepared to start AdvaRank. So you obviously saw a need in the market, but give everybody a sense of, you know, some of the experiences and training you had that made you prepared to launch this venture.
Yeah, sure. So we're headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana. Specifically, we're in a suburb right outside of Indianapolis called Zionsville. It's very near Westfield, Indiana. If you've been watching the local, or I'm sorry, national sports, you might have seen the LIV golf tournament was just recently in Indianapolis here. That was actually in Westfield, Indiana. That's kind of a neighboring community to Zionsville, which is where we're located. And Indianapolis is, for a lot of people, it's a very interesting startup scene and venture capital scene. And it's very entrepreneurial. It's very business startup friendly. And so we've been blessed by being in this community to have a lot of support. So that comes in the form of accessing capital. That comes in the form of talent recruitment. We're able to find a lot of really good people here locally who have early stage business experience, meaning they've got a lot of grit. They can jump in and do a lot of different things, a lot of advertising, a lot of marketing, technology backgrounds. One of the things that contributed to that here in Indianapolis was a great big acquisition that took place a few years ago. There was an email marketing platform called ExactTarget, and it was acquired by Salesforce.com. And that gave Salesforce a huge jump into the marketing side of things. They'd always been specialized in sales enablement, a sales platform, and they acquired this marketing technology company. It was a pretty big transaction, about $2.5 billion for a software company. And that created a collection of dominoes that started to fall, where venture capital firms were able to raise huge funds. A lot of these employees from that company were able to go on and start businesses or become angel investors and really create this ecosystem for us to start to thrive. So the team that we have assembled that work here at AdvaRank have all had some sort of backgrounds together. We've all crossed paths. We've been vendors for one another. We've worked together at times. We've been customers of each other. So it's been a community that really let us, kind of find our niche and get our legs under us and get us an opportunity to start to build something pretty cool, something called AdvaRank. There's a lot of other prop tech companies that are starting to sprout in this environment as well. So there's a lot of support and a lot of cross-pollination and sharing of ideas that's taking place here right now.
I love that. You have a strong community.
Yeah,
we're in AdvaRank.
Yeah, that's right. Community is a big deal. And especially when you're a business owner, you need people, you need brainstorming buddies. You need a lot of support to get something off the ground that's never been built before. And so that's Indianapolis is what we all call home, and we have a few employees outside of Indianapolis and other states, but the headquarters is right here in Indianapolis.
That's great. I would have never guessed Indianapolis being venture capitals.
Yeah.
Centric in having that niche.
Yeah, that you and everybody. So
it's good
we like to call this Silicon Alley. It's kind of this nice little spot huddled between Silicon Valley and the East Coast, and we like to call it Silicon Alley.
Awesome. Well, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
So let's rewind the tape just a little bit, take a step back, and tell us about your education, career history. I saw something that you wrote about being TV, film, ESPN. So tell us a little bit about that and how that all, then you were able to parlay all those skill sets, knowledge, et cetera, into AdvaRank. And because honestly, Jason, your success has been just phenomenal. You've scaled so quickly. So we want to hear the backstory about what helped launch you into AdvaRank, and why has AdvaRank been so successful?
Yeah, so going back to like education. So leaving high school, I am a little bit of a visual artist. So I like to paint. I like to paint very large scale, very bright, bold, colorful paintings. And I remember early on, my dad, again, who was in commercial real estate, didn't think any of the big art firms were going to be hiring after high school. So he suggested, rather than going to art school, maybe I should consider taking advantage of this wild wave of this thing that was getting popular called the internet. So that should date myself when I was leaving high school and going to college. And so I went to Purdue University for computer engineering and technology to try to ride this wave. I had a real interest in, of course, advertising technology, because that was very sizzly and kind of sexy and looked, from a visually inspired person that looked like a space I might want to play in. But there was this really cool technology thing that was starting to explode, the internet. So Purdue had some really cool tracks and really cool programs to start getting into. And that's where I got my undergraduate. I was able to get exposed to a lot of really cool forward-thinking professors and ways to start applying design and technology to all this stuff that the internet was going to support. And when I left Purdue University, there was another college here in Indiana called Indiana University. And those two are rivals, by the way. But Indiana University had a great program called informatics. And it was this cool study of, if you were to picture like a Venn diagram, three different independent circles, one representing like people, one representing information, and one representing technology. there was this little intersection area called New Media, and it was inside of the School of Informatics. So looking at how people process information and use technology to access that information, I loved it. I wanted to get right in that little space, that little niche, and see what I could start to create, see if we could apply technology to help visualize information in a meaningful way so people could make decisions. And I fell in love with it. And I ended up going through that program. I was in the first master's class to earn a degree in that field of study. And the university, because it was all a very new program, it was a new field, it was this new internet thing, there was all this money and excitement around it. They were trying pretty hard to pull me through what was going to begin as a PhD program as well. I was young at the time, so I kind of explored that for a semester or two. But again, coming from an entrepreneurial family, I had this big aspiration to venture out on my own and to commercialize some of the ideas that I had and to see what I could actually do to make money. One of the cool things my dad did for me when I was an undergrad, he stopped paying for college after the end of my sophomore year. And instead, he bought me a computer. And he said, figure out something to do with this machine. It was a computer and a flatbed scanner and a printer. And he said, figure out something to do to make money and pay for college. So I did. I actually finished. I paid my undergrad. Then I paid for grad school. And I did it without batting an eye. I loved that I could earn money using this tool. I could pay for my education. I could kind of, write my own check, create my own destiny. And so I was kind of off and running. I met a company that was in Indianapolis who had just, they were hiring a lot. And I wasn't really sure why. And I found out that they had just raised some what was called venture capital. I didn't know what that was. And what these guys were doing is they were putting ads inside of software and distributing the software for free. So software publishers would come to this company and say, we want to learn about embedding ads in our software, and then we'll distribute the software for free and make money off of the ad revenue. And they were backed by venture capital. Well, I mean, I got the bug from that point on. I fell in love with this idea of software design, of advertising, of venture capital. It was everything I wanted. The only thing, because I was kind of still finishing that, secondary education or post-secondary, and I didn't know if I wanted to take the ride. Back then, this was called the bubble, and they were moving out to California to try to go public. So they'd raised all this money. They were sure it was heave-ho, IPO. They were heading out west, moved the whole team, continued to hire like crazy, and then the bubble popped. I was the only employee who didn't go. I was the only employee who stayed back in the attempt of finishing some additional education, which I ended up not doing, by the way. I stopped at the end of my master's. But I got to see the ride. I got to see all the details that go into those kinds of things. And it really got me pretty excited. Well, I ended up starting a business on my own. Those guys moved out west. I started my own business. It was a boutique interactive media company. It was all about new media. So at that time, new media meant authoring DVDs or developing interactive CD-ROMs, email marketing. These were the things that we thought were, was new and cutting, nothing to do with AI back then. And I started subleasing office space from a video production company here in Indianapolis, and they wanted to get into some of those kinds of things. They had some really large broadcast, big media customers, like some of those names you mentioned, Dini, like ESPN and VH1 and Discovery. And those big networks were trying to figure out how to get more programming on the air, sell more ad space, and even repurpose some of that content as DVDs that they could then retail and sell, even starting to do online. So I sold my boutique shop to this video production company to help bring that skill set. Little small team of us went over and became a part. And my task was to help pitch, can you believe this? Pitch TV shows to ESPN, the same usual suspects, Food Network, Discovery Channel. One of my first jobs was to fly out to Bristol to ESPN with a collection of art boards under my arm, representing what these TV show concepts would be and pitch these. So these would be kind of episodic. They'd be 12 episodes in a series, 30 to 60 minutes each. We called them long form TV shows, and went out. My first one was with ESPN, went out there with five or six concepts, and they bought three of them. And we ended up producing a ton of television for ESPN. And then we did it with VH1. We did it with the Food Network, with Discovery, and produced a ton of shows. On the ESPN side, we ended up winning 13 National Emmy Awards for Sports Centuries. We did a lot. If you remember back on ESPN, they used to air these hour-long shows featuring a different, you know, premier athlete like a Tom Brady we did, or a Peyton Manning, or Mario Andretti. And we ended up winning quite a few awards. And then we started developing content for corporate America. So we started working with large pharmaceutical companies. We happen to have a few headquartered here in the Midwest. And we ended up winning some Telly Awards, some Webby Awards, and quite a few national advertising awards called the Addies. Great ride. Enjoyed that. And the thing that was bothering me is there was not a lot of money in television, big media production. It's super cool to see your name scroll at the end of TV shows and the credits the way they used to, but it wasn't, it just wasn't the same thing as, you know, pure software, building a SaaS business. You know, that was starting to get popular, and that bug was starting to get to me again. And I ended up leaving and taking a team with me to start my next business. And that business ended up getting into mobile application development. At the time, this new media pursuit in my head was driving me to anything that was new. Whatever the way people needed to get access to information and use technology to do that, thanks to Apple and all their TV ads, everyone believed there's an app for that. So our phone was ringing off the hook. We ended up building an app platform that would allow just about anybody to build an app and manage content within their mobile app from a browser application. So they could launch an app in the App Store, Android, you know, the Apple App Store, and they could deliver content to their mobile apps. They could even sell ads in it. So we started working in a few different niche industries. Motorsports was one. So we became the largest mobile app provider for major motor speedways, racetracks all over the country. Ovals, road courses, terrain courses, dirt tracks. Started getting into some of the drivers and some of the race teams. Just building mobile apps. And a platform, a companion platform where they can manage content and even sell advertising in these things.
So now I'm seeing the full story. I'm seeing it all come together. So you have the right brain and the left brain. You have the design and the art, which plays into your great social media ads. And then you have the technology, the logic, but you're also a serial entrepreneur. And then all of this experience allowed you built that great communication skill set that you have. So all of that combined has helped to make you so successful.
Yeah. The design and the art of it all. I mean, that will forever be one of my favorite pieces. Everything that we're doing right now at AdvaRank, I mean, the software product itself, we try to make as usable and simple and beautiful as possible. We're trying our best. We like to say we don't build for self-storage operators. We're trying to build with self-storage operators. So we take all the feedback we get. We try to refine it, polish it, and bake it into a new feature or a new button or a new thing that an operator has told us that they would really want to see in there. When it comes to the social side, I don't get the chance to work on every asset for every ad campaign that we create. We have others that can do that now. But I love when I'm allowed to be art director and I get to look at things and tinker and try to make things a little more improved. I really do love that part of it. And I hope that never goes away. But that's something I've always enjoyed. And some of those experiences from like big media and doing some of the broadcast work, we would have to create some of those assets for TV at such a great scale, so quick. We would create the standard procedures for how we could do it, how we could train others to be able to jump in and adhere to a creative vision or a brand standards or brand style guides, and could crank it out at the pace that we needed. And that exact same tool set and some of those same technologies we use when we create social ad campaigns. So we can wrap, once we get a look established and take on the brand of the customer, we're able to produce them, I think, at a pretty high quality just by following those same principles. I think we did that with you guys as an experiment. That was the same methodology and the same concept.
Yeah, I've been very impressed in working with the Advarank team just on the efficiency, the speed, the quality of all the artwork for our social media ad campaigns. It's been great. What, Jason, from your standpoint, you know, kind of bringing it back a little bit to, you know, storage operators and some of the problems you can help solve for them. You know, what's a typical client look like for you in terms of like how many locations they would have, what problem they're facing, and how does Advarank solve that? How do you make this more tangible for folks that might be listening? But, you know, they're running storage facilities. You know, of course, they don't never have enough rentals, never have enough occupancy. How does Advarank solve their problem?
Well, so we work with small, medium, and large operators and third-party management companies. And everyone comes to Advarank with the same problem. They, like you said, they need more move-ins. They need more occupancy growth. Obviously, those are the things that drive the entire industry. So we recognize really early on, no one comes to Advarank when things are going great and they just want to try Advarank to see if it's, you know, incrementally better. People come to Advarank when they need something new, whatever they're doing is not working. So there's a great deal of frustration. So we have learned early on to have a great deal of empathy for everybody we talk to, because there is something that's broken or off or causing this irritation or frustration. So we tried to price our product and price all of our offerings to be very personalized or customizable, things where you can turn on and off. You can try social, or you can try display retargeting on Google. You could stick to just pay-per-click. You don't need to do everything for every property. So through empathy, we're trying to listen to what their problem is and let them kind of dip their toe in it, or, you know, what they say, crawl, jog, run, just let people get comfortable with it and maybe learn about how all this advertising works, especially in the self-storage industry. So what was the second part of your question? You were kind of asking about what people come to us for, what the size was.
Yeah, no, they're going to come to you with obviously some needs, some challenges, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So what does it look like? You know, they're going to come to you and say, hey, I need these ads. And then, you know, at that point, the Advarank team is going to take over. What can the customer expect that they're going to get?
Yeah, so some of the things that we talk to customers about when they first come to our doorstep is we want to know a little bit more about their properties and a little bit more about their brand. So let's just take Sunbird. When you guys came to us and wanted to experiment and see if this social thing would work in self-storage or specifically for your properties, right away, what we noticed that made you different is you had a brand. I don't mean a logo. I mean, you had a legit full-on brand, as big or as important as e-commerce brands or major retailers. So you had taken the time to not only have a beautiful logo and visual identity, but it had, we could tell that Sunbird had a collection of core values or something that actually trickled into the way people make decisions and the way people keep the properties and the physical appearance of the location. So when we talk about brand, when we talk about marketing, marketing includes advertising, marketing includes brand, which is a big one. And a lot of storage operators overlook that. So when we meet a new operator, we want to know about their brand. That's one of the very first things we have to do. And so we want to see their logo, their identity, how much attention do they take into capturing the photography or the drone footage of the property? Do they even do that? Or are they using stock photos? I mean, all those are okay, but when we meet someone like Sunbird and see that they have an incredibly strong ingredient, like a great brand, and it's trickled into the operational excellence of the way the third-party management side runs or the wholly owned properties, then it makes our job, it makes anyone's job easier for running ads. So we're able to use those assets and that those kinds of core values that we can see very easily, and that helps us build a lot more beautiful ads. So from a design standpoint, our job gets a lot easier. When it comes to running those campaigns and seeing success with them, then it requires a great website experience. And when we saw the way that your brand had been translated to the online experience for your website, with Storagely's website, it was crystal clear to us that if we can just do our job's paid advertising, if we can get people to the website and they can work through the easy to use size guide, if they can find the right units they want at the right locations, and then navigate through a very quick checkout process, then our job is going to be easy. Well, I mean, it's now the burden's going to be on us to prove that this thing works because all the other ingredients are in place. So when we first meet operators, we try to delicately coach them on, we can start running ads immediately. That speed is a core value of ours. It's one of our assets, we think, that we can get these campaigns up and running quickly. Now what's going to happen? We have to make sure this traffic that's going to start banging on your site is going to have a great experience. Is it going to be clear what they need to do next? Can they find the units? Are they scrolling through awkward technology experiences? Are things broken? One of the things we did with some of the Sunbird experiments is when it came to social, because that your website was so SEO optimized, a lot of the traffic that was being generated by social was finding their way to Google search results and just searching for your brand name. And because you guys were so optimized, they were able to find all that content online and start clicking on all those links, whether it was in maps or it was just simply organic listings or it was branded search results. And so we saw a huge lift in all of that content as well. And what we were running were paid social videos on Facebook and videos on Instagram and all the associated properties. But with all the other tentacles in place and functioning and running smoothly, it made the whole system, the whole universe of what we were trying to do, successful, massively successful. So
that, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for calling that out and noticing our brand. We put a lot of work and effort into that. And I have to give Jason Koonin kudos because that's been one of his, he really preaches about that a lot. He was the one who started that brand, the Sunbird brand and all the colors, and insisted upon building a strong brand presence. So thank you for noticing. We appreciate that. And it's definitely shown in the ads that you've done. We get a lot of feedback about your ads being very creative and eye-catching. People really like them. And then we've also seen the conversions come from them. So thank you for that. I like the feedback loop because I believe it's Jason Bales comes and then he meets with us and gives us all the data and analytics, which is important,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we want to know how successful it is. And it's been wildly successful to do the Instagram and Facebook ads. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, like I said at the beginning, we see operators, small, medium, and large. They come in all shapes and sizes and colors. And it's rare when we get to see someone who's made themselves look like a retail experience and not a real estate play. And that's important in storage. That's one of the main things that makes you guys different. So.
Yeah, I think that was the goal from the beginning. So I appreciate you noticing that, Jason. You know, we definitely wanted to differentiate our brands in the US and Canada and really kind of be a little bit of an unstorage company, if you will, much more like a retailer or a hotel, you know, definitely big on hospitality. So that's a bit about AdRank and about your journey. You know, where do you go from here? Tell us, What's happening at the company now? I know you guys are growing and you've got some new investors, and how big is the market opportunity for what you're doing? Obviously the ad business is pretty big, but you know, how big do you think you guys can be? Can you guys, you know, double from here, triple, you know, what's the roadmap?
I certainly think we'll more than double or triple, from, size, number of employees, and by, revenue. And, you know, the market, whether it's, you know, back during the pandemic when things were great, everybody, you know, was adding properties and building, and there was a need for advertising. So we exploded when the market started cooling off a little. There's a need for AdRank. Business is better than ever right now. So, you know, we love the recession resistance nature of self-storage. That's why we're going to stay here. We are laser focused in self-storage. We did just raise another round of funding in the last couple of weeks, and we're going to be doing that announcement here shortly. But the real use of the capital is to continue to expand on the AI technology that powers our algorithm for helping operators see the potential in their properties. And we can try to predict what the occupancy growth could look like if budget adjustments are made to paid advertising. So we don't see what we are offering as a almost like a competitive thing to SEO, to good solid foundational work on websites. We really are trying to just be a complement, a supplement, you know, you fill in the blank there, to working with groups like you guys who pay attention to all those things all at the same time. And you handpick vendors, you partner with vendors who care about those same things. And that's what we're trying to do with this investment capital. We're trying to expand on what we've done so far with AI and see where it can take us. And again, my passion being in new media, I'm always looking at what's new, and what we can't ignore right now is what's happening with paid search on Google. And it's growing, constantly right now. It's not being threatened by things like, we'll say, ChatGPT. But there is a day that everything is going to change, or it will feel like it changed overnight. It will happen gradually. But what won't change is how websites and web content still needs to be optimized, how advertising still needs to drive traffic. The way people search for storage, that's likely to change, but we do have a long way to go before that's going to evaporate. People still go to Google every day and search for what they need right when they need it. And there could be a complement to what's happening with, you know, LLMs or some of the generative search engines, but for the time being, we're going to find ways to help operators be successful and serving ads to people wherever they're spending time. If it's on social, if it's on LLMs, if it's on Google, if it's on TikTok, if it's on Connect TV, we have some operators starting to do a lot with Hulu and YouTube TV advertising, self-storage operators. So it's, you know, everyone's looking for the what's new thing, and that's where we're going to play for a long time, I think.
Well, hopefully we can get this episode published before the big national trade show. I know Deanie and I, of course, will be there. Looking forward to seeing everybody. I assume AdRank will be there. And if folks want to get in touch with you, Jason, what's the best way for them to reach out to AdRank to sort of start the conversation about their marketing needs in advance of Vegas, or if they want to set up a meeting with you?
Yeah, visit our website, advarank.ai. You can book a demo right from the website. We have some abilities for you to even do clickable demos online, self-serve. If you want to talk with one of us, you can book a demo, 15 to 30 minutes, and we can give you a flyby of what we do and how we do it, show you some examples of things we've done for other operators, and see if there's a good fit. And if this does air prior to the show, we will be in booth 311. So come visit us in booth 311. I think we are also doing a round table, and we will be sponsors of the Large Operators Council. So you can find us in some of those spots too.
Okay, great. Yep, I was going to ask for the booth number. So 311, everyone, if you're going to be at the Self-Storage Association Conference coming up, thank you for joining us, Jason Zickler from Adver Inc., for Storage Stories, Episode 7. That was a great episode. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Talk to you later.
That concludes this episode of the Storage Stories podcast. Be sure to share and subscribe as we continue to tackle self-storage news, trends, education, and personal experiences from the competitive world of self-storage.